It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal, and our esteemed producer, Damian Hardeen.
Hey.
Hey, well, obviously the news recently is dominated by the death of a great American patriot, a man who served his country, who spoke truth to power. Truth be told, was a maverick, told it like he saw it, and frequented a world seen by many as a cesspool and yet managed to rise above it and not get covered in smudge himself. But enough about Neil Simon. John McCain also died this week. Another, yes, American patriot, another man who served his country. Oh, back, it harkens back to the good old days, when if one wanted to have a successful political career, one felt that he needed to serve in the military when his country was at war. Quite a different time from the last few Republican presidents, and for that matter, from the last Democratic president wannabe who got attacked for that very reason, for serving his country. Oh, how things have changed. A man who, yes, was a maverick. Yes, it's true, even his own party felt when he was running for president in 2000 and 2008 that he didn't have the temperament to be president of the United States, apparently quick to anger, but was, in fact, while he was always a very right-wing conservative, someone who I rarely agreed with on policy, was in fact a maverick who bucked his party, was willing to go his own way when he saw, again, back to the good old days, someone who could buck his party, a man who pushed campaign finance reform when that was anathema to the Republican Party, who was opposed to things like giving away billions of dollars worth of telecommunications bandwidth for free to big connected companies, who really was a maverick, but learned in 2000, when he was defeated in his presidential run for the Republican Party nomination by George Bush, the company man, the man with all the money, he learned that you can't be a maverick and become a Republican president. You have to be a tool. And who therefore changed dramatically after 2000, something that is being discussed in the media, but perhaps not being discussed quite enough. A man who ended up, in order to fulfill his presidential ambitions, running against his own campaign finance reform bill when he ran for president in 2008. The bill he long pushed for, became, in fact, bore his name, McCain-Feingold. And yet, he turned his back and ran away from it. So much for Profiles in Courage, Republican edition. A man who very famously, during the 2008 presidential election, this is being oft reported, spoke back at a town hall meeting to a woman who claimed that Barack Obama was an Arab who didn't love this country.
I remember that.
Yep, and who got a lot of favorable, as it should have been, although I guess we're really defining things pretty low in the Republican Party if speaking back against that makes for a profile in courage. But nevertheless, it certainly was something, and it was certainly something we haven't seen in the Republican Party basically since. And yet, who during that same 2008 presidential run managed to not object when campaign ads were being run questioning Barack Obama's loyalty and his love of the country, you know, focusing on his otherness, his, how do we put this? Blackness. A man who didn't squelch the birther bullshit when it was coming out and being advanced most famously by the man who is currently, God help us, leading the United States as president. Yes, John McCain's inability to put the birther crap to bed may have helped grease the skids for President Donald Trump. Let's not forget that. A man who very famously has gotten a lot of positive press for his willingness to cast the deciding vote against Obamacare repeal. How much of that was staged, managed, we will perhaps forever speculate, but he still voted against an incredibly inappropriate process trying to ram through the Senate a bill strictly for political purposes that would just harm millions of people. And yet, who had no problem supporting a tax bill, core Republican orthodoxy, that was doing exactly the same thing, hurting millions and millions of people. Nevertheless, John McCain served this country for a long time. You know, I like that too. I find that actually pretty interesting. How is it that the Republican Party that is always bashing Washington and our federal government now seamlessly manages to talk about a man who served for decades as a congressman and U.S. senator as having served his country? It seems a little bit inconsistent. But a long time senator, congressman, a man who did show signs of independence at times. And now, of course, in the wake of his death, we were all holding our breaths to see how the president of the United States was going to react. Would the president of the United States, who obviously had a feud with John McCain, acknowledge the loss? This is how far we fall in this country. When Donald Trump just announced that flags would be flown at half mast, a pretty basic decision, an obvious decision happens. The news media seems to be jumping up and down, lauding the president for having honored John McCain. I guess now we're going to look and see, will the president show up for John McCain's funeral? As he was specifically disinvited by John McCain before he passed away. I guess we can also ask ourselves, will Sarah Palin be attending John McCain's funeral? Because when we talk about John McCain's history, let's not forget that John McCain, in his 2008 presidential run, in order to show his fealty to the Republican Party base, is the one who inflicted Sarah Palin upon the United States of America and the world. Anyway, as long as we're talking about Republicans and making name for themselves, last week when we recorded, right after we recorded, was the big moment for our guest special counsel, Robert Mueller. The big moment of the Paul Manafort guilty verdict and the Michael Cohen guilty plea. I have been talking a lot on this show for weeks about how they could be downplaying the Manafort trial, but that it was huge. And that if Manafort had somehow avoided conviction, how the calls on Fox News and all over the right and throughout the Republican Party to get rid of Robert Mueller would have been deafening and so loud as to very likely have had an impact in getting rid of the special counsel. Turns out we needn't worry. Because all of a sudden, Fox News' balloon was burst. And one day last week, within a few minutes of each other, in true great legal theater, when the jury came back and convicted Paul Manafort of 8 counts of federal crimes, crimes of tax evasion, bank fraud, financial crimes of all sorts, just, you know, no big deal, tax evasion, just stealing millions of dollars from the American public. And then Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to campaign finance violations, among other things, and being a douche, I believe. I'm not sure that was actually a federal crime. Basically pleading guilty to campaign finance violations and general doucheness within minutes of the Manafort verdict. And so all of a sudden, the bubble was burst at Fox News and in the right wing. And just for a few moments, I guess they had to hold off on their claims about the witch hunt from Robert Mueller.
And did you see the futile attempt by Donald Trump that said, basically in a tweet, that, and of course this is just paraphrasing, hey, 8 out of 18 ain't bad.
8 out of 18. What? I had not even read that. Yeah. What Damien is referring to is, of course, that Manafort was convicted on 8 of 18 charges. Now, for those who don't have a legal background, haven't been following the story closely. Let's elaborate on why what Trump said, aside from anything else, was pretty funny. I mean, one, if you're convicted of 8 federal crimes, it's really not counted as a win. But let's be clear that he was not acquitted on the 10 other charges. He was convicted on 8 of 18. The other 10, the jury was a hung jury, which means they did not acquit him. They did not find him not guilty. They certainly, as we've discussed before, did not find him innocent. What happened was they couldn't unanimously convict. We don't know at this point, at least I don't know, I don't believe we know, what the jury was on those other 10 counts. I expect that the Trump people have a pretty good idea.
You know, it was a thing where there was just one juror, a Trump supporter, who was holding out, and they were the ones who were responsible for asking the judge what the definition of certain legal terms were. And it seems like there was just one person that was holding up the rest of the jury from all indictments.
Yeah, that's not surprising. And to find out later on, while Trump's counting victory in 10 out of 18, we may certainly be finding out very shortly that it was 11 to 1 or 10 to 2 to convict on the other counts as well, which, again, seems even less exculpatory than just saying there was a hung jury on 10 counts, but you were found guilty on 8. So, of course, how do the Republicans spin this? And I could have told you 3 weeks ago how Republicans would spin this. In fact, I'm sure I've told you months ago, and I've told several times.
I think you did, actually, in that like 3 weeks ago episode.
Oh, really? You have to go back and look for that one. Because it's the same playbook all the time. I had a conversation the other day with a Republican I know. And I don't know if he is a Trump supporter. We don't talk very often. We don't talk politics very often, but I know that he is a Republican and we have had political conversations in the past. And I spoke to him briefly the other day and he starts out by saying, what do you think about this thing, all this crap going on? So we're dismissing it just the way it's phrased. It's not, what do you think about these crimes committed by members close to the president of the United States, people he was very close to. It was all this crap, just dismissed, you know, all this stuff that just gets in the way, you know, crimes and things like that. And I said, well, I think that it's no surprise the president is a criminal. And one of his conspirators has outed him as committing federal crimes. And I don't think it's a surprise because he lives in a swamp and this is a pretty good idea of the people he's been filling our government with. And he says, yeah, I know. I know that story and I hear that. You know, I watch different things. I'm thinking, yeah, right. I watch Fox News and I watch MSNBC. It's never evident in anything he says, but I watch NBC as well. I said, what do you think about this? That they're saying Obama with $300 million did the same thing. And I got to confess, Damien, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Do you know what he's talking about?
No, but this is just, again, the playbook, the false equivalency playbook.
Exactly.
When the president's in trouble, and he's in trouble often, there's the blame Hillary, blame Obama, get out of jail free card that I just don't think it's as effective as they're hoping that it's going to be.
The false equivalency by stages, we hope it's not going to be effective, though it certainly so far seems to be effective with the base. The false equivalency in stages. So the first step is, oh, this is nothing. This is a big nothing. It's getting harder to do that one with all the convictions and the guilty pleas to serious crimes. So the next step is kind of, well, this is all a bunch of crap. Yes, embedded in that is the idea that this is all being made up by an out-of-control Justice Department special counsel. They just want to get this guy, et cetera. We're going to try throwing that one. And then we're going to say, well, you know, the other side does it too. So anyway, he says to me, $300 million from Obama. You know, what do you think about the three? He says, I saw that on NBC or something. I said, you didn't see that on NBC. You saw that on Fox. He said, no, I'm pretty sure I saw that on NBC. I'm thinking, whatever crap this was, you didn't see it on NBC. You saw it on Fox. And you're giving, at least he has the knowledge to understand that Fox on some level is bullshit and not a source to cite. So he knows enough to say, no, I'm pretty sure that was on one of my viewings of mainstream news, you know, that I saw that.
You know, if you had to keep a tally about how many times Fox has gotten things wrong recently in trying to defend Trump, I mean, it would be right there in front of you for you to see how much they're covering up or essentially helping to enable this guy. If you actually kept a tally for how many things they've actually gotten wrong, things that they said, oh no, that's ridiculous, and then it comes out that no, it isn't ridiculous. I mean, even with Cohen, what Cohen came out and pretty much named Trump as the guy who directed him to commit crimes.
Yeah, implicated the current president of the United States in federal crimes. I don't know. You think Fox News makes stuff up, like, you know, maybe white farmers in South Africa being routinely murdered and having their land stolen by the blacks in South Africa? That was just this week. Thank you, Tucker Carlson. And of course, the president followed up on that one. So the next step in the conversation was, no, you saw that on Fox News. And it was like, well, you know, they're all the same. They all do this. There's a bunch of crap. They're all a bunch of criminals. Right. Obama forgot to pay a parking ticket, I guess, at some point. And the president of the United States and all the people he surrounds himself with have committed federal crimes. So it's all, we put it in the same book. And I'm sure if I had pushed the conversation a little further, as you pointed out, Damien, the name Hillary would have come up very quickly. Well, yeah, we've got all this, but gosh darn it, they're so evil on the other side. So the false equivalency, yeah, they all do it. They're all criminals. It's all a swamp. Washington is terrible. What do you expect? Without thinking for a moment about the fact that we had 8 years of none of this. We had an 8-year Obama presidency that was basically completely scandal-free, other than the occasional absolutely made-up shit on Fox News. And just remarkable. So Trump, of course, has responded to these federal crimes, as you would expect an angry president of the United States would, which is to act like a mob boss, apparently to totally continue to lose whatever he has left, going on crazy rants, and once again, making people question his sanity.
But it's totally in character for him to say that.
Totally in character. And the character turns out, you know, the character we've said for a long time, the Donald, you know, that was the character, the Donald. Well, it turns out it was really the wrong character. It shouldn't have been the Donald. It should have been the Don. It should have been the Don, not the Donald. The Don, as in Don Corleone. A mob boss. Because in the wake of the conviction of Manafort and the guilty plea of Michael Cohen, Donald Trump tweeted absolutely like a mob boss. The president of the United States, once again, leading us to say, what the hell would be going on in this country if this were the other way around? If this were happening in a Democratic administration?
And what would you expect from a guy who demands allegiance to him over everything else?
Demands allegiance. Omerta, we've talked before in the class, on the show. Omerta, silence, loyalty to me, not to the country. This guy is absolutely a mob boss, and he's been a mob boss for a long time. He's certainly playing one very well on TV as the president of the United States. The president of the United States comes out and excoriates a person for turning state's evidence against a criminal co-conspirator. This idea of silence, and he says it should be a crime to flip, uses the term flip. A derogatory term describing, let's be clear, a felon ratting out, there's another negative term, a fellow felon. Something that most of us, if we are not mob bosses or, I don't know, felons, should actually applaud. I've talked at length in this show. This is not, again, unique to Donald Trump. The Republicans have been at war on whistleblowers for decades. Whistleblowers, people being people who alert the public to crimes being committed in other people's names. And these are bad guys. This is absolutely a criminal racket running the country. And again, it's not just Trump. It is the Republican Party, which has, of course, reacted to these guilty verdicts by, I don't know, looking at what the base is going to say before they decide if they can actually say something that might be critical of the President of the United States, because, you know, the base is really behind him. So if the base is really behind him, they have to be behind him. Maybe the best one on this, of course, was Orrin Hatch, Utah senator, and the guy who tried to pass this off by saying, well, you know, Trump is from New York, and this is kind of the way they do things in New York. Right. Because New York is populated by nothing but criminals and mob bosses. Orrin Hatch has watched a little bit too much Goodfellas or Godfather, whatever. How offensive is this that this guy basically just dismisses an entire city, an entire region, in order to defend a criminal as president? I don't know. I guess this is also, Orrin, what they must do in locker rooms, right? Because this is not the way they behave in New York City. Just is not the way, this is not the way people talk in locker rooms. But you keep plugging away, Orrin. Your constituents, I'm sure, will love it. And that's what the GOP is looking at right now, because the tail is absolutely wagging the dog. Before deciding whether they could say something about a president of the United States being implicated in federal crimes, and that maybe not being a good thing, they have to look and see, what does the base think about this? So, a bunch of ignoramuses and cultists around the country are going to decide how one political party in this country deals with federal crimes.
That's not leadership at all. You have to have some sort of
wait a moral minute. Pause conviction. For a second. You got to let that one sink in. That's not leadership.
No, you don't. You don't sit around and wait for what the majority says. That's more like the uncontrollable need to be in some sort of club, and the club being the House of Representatives and the Senate, because that's really what's at stake. It doesn't matter what they personally believe. There's no electing a representative if all you're going to do is just kind of pander to the more extreme voices in your party.
It is a lack of leadership. Underscore that, put in italics, just ridiculously. It is cowardice to an incredible degree, and it is a statement of the absolute moral and intellectual vacuity of the Republican Party right now.
And it goes against what they swore to do, which is uphold the Constitution and to make decisions that actually benefit the country.
Right. Well, that's what they swore to do, but we've gotten a pretty good idea recently how seriously Republicans take their vows in all kinds of ways, and how seriously they feel about representing the country. We've been talking for a long time about the freedom that Republican politicians have from having absolutely no ethics or decency left and basically just looting the country as much as they can before they are gone. Speaking of looting the country, there's been some other swamp dwellers in the news, which it would be remiss to not talk about a little bit. Of course, you should know by now, the first two Republican congressmen to endorse Donald Trump. The first two Republican congressmen to endorse Donald Trump have now been charged with additional federal crimes or felonies. Starting with Chris Collins, the first congressman to support Donald Trump, who is being accused of insider trading in a case that seems a little bit like a slam dunk. A man who had a congressional picnic when he found out that a company he had stock in was going to fall off a cliff with its stock price, made calls to his family members, his son and others, to quickly sell their stock. In other words, when faced with the possibility of losing money on a bet he made, decided instead to steal money from the American public. As we talked about weeks ago with Martha Stewart, the allegations, of course, against Martha Stewart. When you have a lot of money, a lot of power, and you are told, you have insider information that you are told the stock is going to go down, and then you proceed to sell that stock before anybody knows what's happening, you are stealing money from ordinary people like me and you. That's what he was doing. And I think he's actually announced he's not running for re-election as a result, which is surprising because I'm sure those same people he was stealing from would have put him back in. Then, of course, there was Duncan Hunter, the number two congressman to support Donald Trump, who it turns out has a bit of a problem with finances, a bit of a problem with his campaign donations, which were being used to do things like pay his water bill. Because this guy, there's a few stories here to learn, a few lessons here from Duncan Hunter. One, I guess, not being, don't trust your wife with the campaign donations.
Yeah, remember that guy who came out and blamed his wife? What was that guy's name?
Duncan Hunter, yeah. Came out and said, yeah, my wife did it. Throwing her wife, his wife under the bus. We didn't do anything wrong, but to the extent that we did something wrong, that was all my wife. It wasn't me. I don't know. The story here is, one, what incredible losers we have in the United States Congress, at least in the Republican Party. You read about this guy, it's almost tragic. It's almost sad, except he's such an asshole. The guy literally couldn't pay his water bill. He had no money. In part, it sounds like, because he was a drunkard. When he was in Washington, D.C., apparently he was spending most of his days in the bars, at least the part of his days where he wasn't dialing for campaign donations to fund his drinking, was spending money on all kinds of crap for himself and his family. Vacations, which it turns out weren't really vacations. One, what an incredible loser this guy is. How do you get into Congress without even the basic ability to manage your personal finances? Two, of course, is the brazenness of this. Once again, you look at these charges and it's sort of like everybody, until there's a conviction or a guilty plea, everybody says, you know, allegedly. But people are saying allegedly, but boy, have you seen what they've got on this guy? Oh my God. The brazenness. How these guys just figure that they could get away with everything. And then, of course, when you get caught, just lie your way out of it. Just lie, lie, lie. Just keep lying until the public looks elsewhere. The people who watch Fox News, don't worry, Fox News will have your back. Just lie for a while until it's not news anymore, and then you've lied your way through it. To come out and say among those lies that this was money being used for charity, charity and specifically for wounded veterans, there's another one. Always play the military card, the wounded veterans card. Say it's about wounded veterans and people will go, ah, without looking at the fact that you took campaign donations and rather than spend them on your campaign or anything that your constituents might want, like spending on charitable causes like wounded veterans, you feed your lavish lifestyle. You take vacations, etc. Other swamp dweller news, of course. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, just today as we are recording this, is in a primary fight in Arizona. You know, the recently pardoned Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the blatantly racist and bigoted and man who doesn't believe in the Constitution, Joe Arpaio, apparently is behind in his Republican primary for senator for Arizona. They just don't go away. They always have a home in the Republican Party. Roger Stone, apparently longtime Republican operative, is worried that he's about to get indicted. So he started trying to raise money for his legal defense. Charity, GOP style. You could give your charity to wounded veterans or, God forbid, hungry children.
Sounds like one heck of a GoFundMe page.
Sounds like one heck of a GoFundMe page, which it apparently is. Or instead of giving your money to charity, you can give it to a blatantly corrupt criminal who has way too much power, but needs your money to help him get away with his crimes. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, has been in the news canceling his North Korea trip. Oh, well, we counted that victory a little bit too soon, didn't we?
And what was the reason for that?
Because nothing had come of the meetings with Kim, President Kim, or in Mike Pompeo speak, President Un, of North Korea. Remember how we were celebrating all that Donald Trump achieved in North Korea?
The great negotiator.
The great negotiator. Keep this in mind as the agreement with Mexico to replace NAFTA filters out. And we are right now taking the president's word about the details of this agreement, because the negotiator in chief, who manages to screw up every negotiation, promises that he did a great job improving on NAFTA because he pulled it out of his ass. Lastly, just to leave on a fun note very briefly, Jeff Sessions took umbrage, finally, at attacks by the President of the United States and famously tweeted, "While I am Attorney General, the actions of the Department of Justice will not be improperly influenced by political considerations." Wait, what? The entirety of the actions of your Justice Department have been influenced by political considerations. You have completely politicized the Justice Department to promote right-wing garbage. That's what you've done. And then Sessions wrote, "I demand the highest standards, and where they are not met, I take action." Inspiring words from a garden gnome. Anyway, that's our show this week. As always, thank you for joining us. Please don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. Check us out on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on Podbean. And last but not least, make sure you listen to us on Spotify as well. Please share us with your friends, neighbors, and relatives. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.